You're listening to an iGroom Hub podcast for dog groomers. iGroom Hub is an online learning platform for groomers of all levels. Sit back, relax, and enjoy what iGroom Hub Media has to offer.
And welcome to another episode of iGroom Hub Media Podcast. And we are now at number 16, episode 16. And we've done it a little bit differently. Our co-founder, Nikki Renwood, has done a Zoom interview with the wonderful Angela Anderson all the way from New Zealand. So all our New Zealand listeners, this one is for you. So sit back, relax, and happy listening.
Hi, I'm Nikki Renwood, co-founder of iGroom Hub. Today I have a really special guest with me from across the waters in New Zealand, Angela Anderson. Hi, Angela. How are you?
Hi, Nikki. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, yeah, good. It's actually freezing here today. I don't know what it's like over in your world, but it's horrible rainy for a Sunday.
It's my perfect weather here, actually, which is overcast and not raining, because then I can work outside without frizzling away to nothing.
Exactly. And I have heard that you're working outside. I'm sure there's a lot of people being seeing your posts. You're hauling around bricks.
Yeah, my poor little car. I can't even believe it fit under half a ton. The guy that's on to me is like, are you sure they're going to fit? And I'm like, yeah, totally. You should see what I can fit in this car. And it made it. Yeah, travelled 40 minutes to get back home with them. It's amazing.
Do you know, Angela, I was reading that this morning and I'm like, I've been in your little car, right? Do you know half a ton is a horse? It's like calling one of my horses around.
Well, this is my other car. This is the South Island car, which is smaller than one that I had for you. The one I had for you was, yeah, at least like four-wheel drivey kind of thing. But, yeah, this one's even smaller and older, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's nice. Crazy. And I can fit a horse in if I need to. If somebody needs a horse,
click. Yeah, I don't know about in size, but maybe in weight.
Maybe.
You're probably over your weight, though. I was scratching my head.
It dropped by 5 centimetres with the load in, because I measured it when I took the load out.
Oh, Andrew, it's lovely to have you on and hear your voice again. Andrew, tell me a bit about yourself. Where did it all start for you, like grooming? What was the trigger to say, I'm going to be a dog groomer?
Well, I have always had a I'm going to do this next kind of attitude. And I went through a period of being completely burnt out in my job, where I was literally taking on everything that was offered to me. And so I took some time off work. And then when I decided to go back, I thought, I need some balance. I need to be not doing all this crazy stuff at work and running around after everybody and taking on every job. And so I looked at all the different options, and I decided that I wanted to work with animals, and I wanted to be able to spend time with my animals, and I wanted a job where I would get a full-time income for part-time hours. So if we suddenly adopted a baby, because you don't get none of this 9 months nonsense notice when you're adopting. First one we had 2 weeks notice, and the second one we had we found out about him on the Monday. We met him on the Wednesday, and he came home on the Friday. So you don't get time to plan.
Andrew, it's like a new puppy. It's like bringing a new puppy home. Isn't that it? People go to the shops, pick a puppy up, and they might have it the next day.
Yeah, exactly. except babies sleep longer if you fill them enough, which is great. Yeah, so then I wanted to just give some more balance to my life, and if I woke up in the morning, went, you know what, tomorrow I'm gonna take the day off or whatever, I could do that and not stress too much. So seemed, and I'm artistic, and I love animals and that, so it just seemed like the perfect thing that I could do from home, not have to drive anywhere. Yeah, it seemed great. So this lovely idyllic part-time lifestyle.
Did you ever think that it might have been wrong for you? I mean, I get a lot of people, and I'm sure you do too, being in the education industry, that go, is this for me? Did you ever think that, or did you just go, nah, this is it?
No, because I believe that everything you do leads you to something else, so there is no wrong for me. And even though some of the positions I've been in may have caused me to burn out, I've learnt some huge skills around people. So you can't dwell and go, oh, this is a mistake. You're either enjoying it or you're not enjoying it. And if you're not enjoying it, you find out why. And if you can't find out why, you get out and try something else. But you need to be going towards something, not away for something. That's the biggest
thing. That's great advice for everybody listening, isn't it, Angela? That's really, like, be positive. Be be motivated. It doesn't matter if you make a mistake anyway, does it? It doesn't matter if it wasn't right for you, no matter what you choose. Just get up and move on. You know, that's what we do say. Sorry, Angela, go on. I keep interrupting you.
No, not at all. No, carry on. No, I agree. A positive attitude will change your life, like will literally change your life. And I used to think, oh, that's a lot of hooey, you know, my circumstance is going to change just because I decide they will. Actually, do you know what they have? And so now I live my life with positivity. I give whenever I can give without expecting anything back, because then you don't get resentful. I would rather do something for free than for cheap, because when people get things cheap, they don't appreciate it. When they get it for free, they do. But I do charge, you know, I do charge for things that I feel, okay, well, this wasn't my idea, but, you know, but you came to me and I can help you and here's my prices. I do that. But there's other times when I go to people and I go, do you know what? I really feel like I can help you. I don't want anything. I just need to top up my tanks as well. Because once you start getting into that lifestyle of giving and offering and supporting and being positive to other people, boy, it does keep your tanks full, and you would be surprised how much you can fit in a day when you're doing things for the right reasons.
So then you started your school, Angela. Why did you start a school? Like, where did that come from?
Back then, there wasn't any schools in New Zealand. There came along soon after, maybe a little while after I started, there was another little school that opened up with just one teacher who took one or two students at a time, so that didn't really fill many gaps. But I had a lot of people from very early on appreciate my grooming and come and say, can I have some lessons with you, or can I just some help with this? And it just sort of grew and grew to the point where I thought, well, you know, why not incorporate this as well? Because I love to teach. I love to teach anything. I love to learn anything. It's literally exactly the same thing, teaching and learning. So, it was a no-brainer for me to go ahead and open the school. And we started off small, and now it's gone a bit gangbusters, but never mind.
Fantastic. So where was your first school? Because I understand you've got more than one.
Yes, we've got three schools. Wow. The first one was in West Auckland, and then the second one was in East Auckland, and the third one is in Christchurch, which is where I am at the moment, because Auckland's been in lockdown for 10 weeks. So I'm down in Christchurch with relative freedom. Yes.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. And tell me why, just for those people that don't have a good understanding of New Zealand, I can remember I went over to New Zealand on my honeymoon. It wasn't my first trip over there, but I think it was my first trip as an adult. And, you know, we do dog shows all the time in Australia, and, you know, you can do 20 hours really easy and gauge it out really, really well. And we went to New Zealand and we did like 3 hours. What we thought of 3 hours of driving, but I think it was about, you know, 100 kilometres. And it was just crazy. So, you know, just explain to people why you have an Auckland and a Christchurch and where they are in the big scheme of things of the layout of New Zealand.
So you can fly anywhere in New Zealand for like in under an hour and a half, pretty much. Everything. It's a small country. Most people are in Auckland. I think about a third of the population are in Auckland. Only about a third are in the South Island, and then all the rest are scattered through the little North Island. And so the first one we did in Auckland was because that's where, you know, in the West Auckland, that's where I was based grooming, and it made sense. We had the space to do it there. We also had space to build an apartment there to have student accommodation and things like that. So that worked really well. And then the second one, the main person that I had running that, Simon, he's just the loveliest person you could ever hope to meet, a fantastic groomer, amazing teacher. And I said, well, let's, you know.
They're not easy to come by, are they?
They are not. And I said, so let's get this salon up and running and make sure all our staff are amazing and that sort of thing. And then we'll open up an academy for you. And then we can open up to, because one thing we had struggled with, we used to get people from all around the world. And we could communicate quite well with a lot that could write in English, but we struggled a little bit with those that couldn't write well in Chinese. and Simon is Chinese. So I said, well, let's run one there. And then that way, if we get, it doesn't matter who we get there, but if we do get Chinese students, we'll push them more towards you just to make it easier with their writing, because we had no trouble with, talking. It's just the writing thing was difficult.
So
we did that. And then the third one in Christchurch was literally I had wanted to do it for a very long time, but just had not put it into my goal setting or my plans yet. And one of my staff members, who was my PA up in Auckland, was being transferred to Christchurch because her husband was being transferred. And of course, I told her, well, you just need to divorce him and then you can stay with me. But she wouldn't, because she's unreasonable like that. So coincidentally happened to have certification in Auckland, and Leanne, who is another fantastic groomer, has been grooming since she was about 16. Great with the workshops and everything. So I knew her well. I knew she taught well, and she's got a lovely way with people and just, you know, a really nice person. And I said to her, hey, would you be interested in me setting up a pet shop, a grooming salon and a academy down in Christchurch and coming to work for me? And she went, oh, hell yeah, yeah, in a heartbeat. So I was able to go back to Maxine and go, sorry, you're not leaving after all. You're now
fire down. Now, I know in Australia, Angela, and that's because I have a school, we can't, and I know the other schools are in Australia, or I know definitely in Victoria, are in the same boat. We can't keep up the demand, and we're finding at the moment that our schools are there about 6 months booked out. And I do know that's because of the pandemic. You know, it's been a big plane because people have been retrenched. They want some more security. They want to be able to work from home, a bit more isolation and so forth. How is the pandemic? And I know you have done it a little bit different. Don't get me wrong. I know you've certainly been in lockdowns, but we're in our seventh lockdown, just starting to come out of it now. So we here in Victoria are well and truly good experts at it. We know how to lock down. So has it affected New Zealand, would you say?
It's not been too bad. I mean, we don't do any training shorter than a month. We aim for 16 weeks, but we don't do anything shorter than a month. So that already eliminates a lot of people who aren't able to give that sort of time commitment, because it's Monday to Friday, you know, 9 till 2:30, so they can at least pick
it's
kids
big
up.
Demand.
It is a big demand. So we don't have any sort of funding available in New Zealand. You can't get NZQA here for dog grooming or anything like that. So they have to be self-funding, and they have to be able to commit to at least a month, and we encourage them 2 or 3 months. So we want groomers when they leave here to be confident, competent, and we give them backup support as well. So that's been good in that we don't get, 50 people waiting at a time. And as we keep adding extra parlours on, extra academies on, then we're able to take up the extra month. So it's actually been reasonably good, but we have this lockdown has been longer than the last one. And because it's at the end of the year, the last one was in April, so we were just able to make those classes up. But now that this one is still going and it's nearly November, we can't make those up through December, because we all know what December's like.
No, that's right. Yes. For anybody listening, December, you don't teach, because people's heads aren't in the right space. They're in the Christmas, or if they're an existing groomer, it's all hands on. So
it is. Absolutely. So December is typically the time when we send our students off to do work experience or put them into jobs or put them into different roles, whatever, because everybody needs groomers.
Everybody needs a groomer, yeah.
And there was a couple of places.
Sorry, go on, Angela.
There is a couple of places around New Zealand now offering shorter training. And so, they're able to fit in between little lockdowns and things, which is quite good. But we haven't had so many, but they tend to be longer when we do. But we've just got word now they're changing the system now so that before our levels are 1 to 4, I assume yours is similar. 4, we can't do anything except breathe. And level 3, we can work with no contact, but we can't have customers in store, which means that we can't have students in store. But they've just clarified the rules on tertiary education now, where we can have up to 10, including the teacher, in a bubble in the school. So, we're going to open up for our final block on the 1st of November just to finish off those.
Is that in Auckland? Is it?
Yes. So, the 2 in Auckland will be opening back up on the 1st of November, and the Christchurch one is running at the moment because they're in level 2 down in Christchurch.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. Yeah. Good-o. So,
Where do you feel grooming schools are heading in New Zealand? I mean, that's great that you just said there's, you know, there's been a change, but that's obviously for the pandemic. Where do you feel in general that schools are heading? Do you feel the quality of education of the private schools? You feel that's there?
Yeah, I do. I think the quality is very high, and because it's such a personal thing, and the teachers are not, if I haven't got a teacher, I'll just go and grab another one. They're very committed and they're very passionate about what they're doing, and they get a lot of joy out of watching students grow and bloom. So, I can't think of anyone that teaches in New Zealand who isn't passionate. So, even our peers, I like to say peers, not opposition, because I hate that word, but even my peers who have schools around New Zealand, I can tell you hand on heart, every single one of them is passionate. And
yes, definitely. I don't think you can do it without being passionate. That takes me to my next question, Angela. Mm-hmm. What's your favourite thing to teach?
Oh, my gosh, it changes. Like, I just like to answer any questions. I love the aha moments. I love it when you say something to them and then you say, well, try holding it this way or try going that way. And they go, oh, my God, that suddenly just completely clicked. And I know I've been told it 10 different ways, but that 11th way just got me. I love teaching proper scissoring. I love teaching how they can hide the floors. I really love the sciencey stuff, bringing up the microscope and showing them exactly what is happening inside the cells. I love that. Yes. But then I'm a bit geeky like that. So,
Angela, you just love teaching in general, which, as you said, when you're a teacher, and which we both are, you're just passionate about everything. You know, there's little things that do get you. I mean, I've always said, even as a groomer, I love double coats. Now, admittedly, they are my breed as well, having Shetland sheepdogs. But I just feel there's so much change. You know, you can really, when you've got an oodle and it's matted, you can only take it off to a 7 blade. So it doesn't look that nice
once you've
finished. But yes, you're helping the dog naturally. But when you do a double coated dog, now I know you've done a heap of double coated dogs yourself, but when you do a double coated dog and you strip all that hair out, and they just absolutely bloom in their look and their coat shines, and I just get so much when we teach double coated dogs, and maybe it's because it's my breed as well, so I don't know.
I love double coats as well. I do. And I've done a lot of different things over the years, and I'm still interested in trying new things. So occasionally when I was teaching last week, there was a matted dog came in and I said, what would you like, what do you think if you were doing a consult with me, what are the sort of things you'd ask me? What are you going to recommend to me as the customer? And she said, oh, I'm going to recommend that you shave it off. And I said, are we going to discuss this first, or are you just going to say I'm shaving it off? And she said, no, we're going to discuss it, and we're going to ask how often you want to brush in the future, how often you would like, how long would you like it in the future, and we're going to work that out. And I said, what if they're absolutely adamant? What if they've groomer hopped to 7 different groomers and all groomers have shaved it off, and now they're going to go to an 8th one? Who's winning? Because they're going to wait a year before they go to the next one. Are you sure that this can't be dematted painlessly? And she said, I don't know, can it? And I said, well, in this particular case, yeah, it actually can, if we do it in the bath with a slicker and fully coat. So we blow all the dust out, we shampoo, get it squeaky clean, we put tons of conditioner, and we just gently slick it in the bath. I think you'll find that will all come out. And that's what we did. And I said to her, now what you say to the customer is, I've done it once to prove to you it can be done. I'm never doing it again. If it comes back in this condition, it's going to be shaved off. I just wanted to tell you, sure, it can be done, but it's not right. And so she felt that was a really good thing to use in her arsenal to break the cycle, because I hate the groomer hopping where they blame everybody just because their dog got shaved off when it's literally not our fault. So, yeah, it can be done painlessly, but it can take a long time, and should they have to. Their skin's probably sensitive anyway from having it so tight. And, I do like occasionally just to pull out the magic wand and show that things are possible.
And then, I have good magic wands, but sometimes there's a limit to our magic wand.
Well, there is. Yes, there is.
Angela, let's talk family, because I know you have a lovely family and I have a lovely family too. I rely heavily on my daughter, Jessica, to help me with the flow of my work and all the businesses that I'm in. Does your family get involved with your work, and how does that work for you, you know, being a full-time working mum as well? Tell me about that.
They do a little bit. My daughter in particular, we adopted her at birth, and we went back to work when she was 4 days old. So she was in a little pod beside me with her little earmuffs and her cloth cover over her to stop any hair blowing anywhere. And she didn't go to preschool till she was about 2.5. So she was right there with me for 2.5 years, and then she went to preschool part time. So she was with me right up until she started school, really. And she's exceptionally intelligent. And in those early days, I couldn't stop and jiggle keys. So it was all talking. It was all verbal. So she got very good at talking to customers and things. So she does do reception for me quite a lot. But she feels like I have overexposed her, and she's not a dog person anymore. So she'll do it and she'll be great with the customers. But she's like, if we're sitting on the couch together, she'll go, get the dog off my knee, please.
I'll give you a heads up, Angela. My daughter at about, I reckon she was about 16, says, no, I do not want to be a dog groomer, mum. And I'm like, okay, cool. It's your life, not mine. And now look at her, you know, she manages a large grooming salon, teaches, and, you know, has something like six or seven staff members. So, and she's only 21. So
wow. Is still time then? Well, my eldest one wants to be a psychologist, so I feel like that's going to be helpful to weekend reception.
I'd be really interested, Angela, how many people out there, and I'd love to hear from everybody, shoot us a line on Facebook or Insta of who's got their family working with them or starting to work with them. And I know, Angela, your daughter's a bit young. Mine's 21, so she's in working age. Now, yours is a little bit younger than mine.
Yeah, my oldest is 17.
So they're just starting to tap in and get the idea. Hang on a sec, you know, we need money to make the world go around. Yes, you know, to go and buy my lollies or go and buy my
latest iPhone. Yes.
Apple electronic stuff and all of that. And that it'd be really cool. Shoot us a line if you have family working with you. We'd love to chat to you about it one day, maybe. Now, Angela, I have one more question for you, and I know I'm keeping you a long time. Tell me, I don't want to go into detail on this because we discussed this before for everybody that's listening, and Angela and I could have spoken for another half an hour about these two other things that Angela's got going on. So we're going to touch base, but we're going to have another podcast really, really soon on these. Now, I understand you've got two other adventures going on in the grooming world.
Yes.
Just touch base on them so we can excite our listeners about what's going on, what the next pod's going to be about.
Well, some of you already know I do seminars called Grooming for Profit, and the amount of faces that I saw go, oh, my God, when they've actually started figuring out their numbers and things that they had no idea about, but to me seems like the first simple thing to do. So I created an online course called Grooming for Profit with a number 4. And the first part's free and the rest part's paid, but it goes through and helps you to work out lots of things about your business, whether it's down to, you know, why you're not making any money, figuring it out with the easy calculator on there, just punch your figures in and it just spits you out ideas of where the problems are, you know, how you can cut costs, how you can increase production, customer relations, marketing. There's a little bit on everything in it. So I love that side of thing, that it means that it can reach more people. And I do selectively do mentoring from time to time in a more one-on-one way as well. And it's a very holistic approach because it doesn't just involve the mechanics of it, but it's a holistic whole life thing. Yeah. So it's about your attitude and your, you know, where you want to be and how we're going to get you there and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I really enjoy it. But that's very limited because you can imagine how much time I have. It's not very much, but what I have, I give 100% to.
We'll tap more on that on another podcast.
Yeah.
And your other adventure, that's?
So we also have a charity that we run. Is that the one you mean? I've got so many. I'm going to keep up with the times. So my grooming parlours. My grooming parlours. Exactly. Grooming parlours and my academies are all called Angels Grooming. Because some, you know, all dogs are angels, although some are hell's angels, but they're all angels. And so we started a charity last year called Angels Network NZ, and that is to help raise money for the dogs that we see come through with urgent medical care, you know, with their teeth falling out of their face and people just aren't able to afford it. So we do donations and things like that, and we also have a charity shop in Christchurch. Volunteers run it, and we donated high-quality goods and very often new goods that we sell for you know, second-hand prices. So we help the community by providing good quality stuff, and we raise money for the main charity Angels Network as well. So, yeah, bit of everything, really.
That's fantastic. Now, also, because I know you've told me, and I think it's a lovely story, how did you come across your business name?
Well, lots of people used to call me Angel when I was a teenager anyway. So, so I had friends when we would go out, they'd just call me Angel because my favourite drink at the time, my favourite drink at the time was a Fallen Angel, which was nice. So they used to call me Angel a lot. But it was just, you know, it just seemed to epitomise everything that I wanted.
Might it be called Hard Cider? if people know me after the drink that I drink, I'd either be called Sam Booker or Hard Cider. So anyway, we'll move on from that one. But I like your name much better. It seems to be a bit sweeter.
I think Sam Booker's a good name for a grooming parlour. It's got a ring to it. Booker your dog with Sam Booker.
I know.
Yeah. All dogs are little angels.
Yeah, they do. Exactly, yeah. It's been awesome chatting with you, and we're definitely going to do it real soon about your other adventures that we didn't even touch on and that. Thank you very much, Angela, for your time.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Yeah, I hope you've enjoyed it. Lovely to chat with you. Thank you.
No problem. People can find me on Facebook and not really on Insta. I'm not that young, but, you know, I'm on Facebook. And
you're not the gen for it.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll definitely put up a link.
Put up some links and people will be able to find me and chat, and I'm always happy to help.
Fantastic.
Thanks for your time, Nikki.
Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more about iGroom Hub or listen to more episodes, head to www.igroomhub.com.au and make sure you're following us on our social media accounts, so Instagram and Facebook.